Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting a television show or season that we think you'll find interesting. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the third season of Resident Alien, and I've got to say, this was not their best season.
I agree.
It was 8 episodes. Typically, it's about twice that, so I held off on us watching it, thinking, I'll wait for the rest of the season to drop, and then I realized, there is no rest of the season. So, I was a little surprised by the length of it, and I think we have discovered that it's not getting continued on
Sci-Fi,
but it might get picked up elsewhere?
Well, because Sci-Fi is part of the NBC Universal family. So the door hasn't been necessarily closed for it moving to USA, for instance.
Or Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it may depend how this season did ratings-wise or whatnot.
Well, just from watching the 8 episodes, it felt like the mayor's family, the mayor and his wife particularly, filmed the majority of their scenes in isolation, if you will.
Yeah. Well, it felt like a lot, figure out how to phrase this, it felt like part of the story was left in the writer's room.
Yes.
Because even though there was a little bit of previously on at the beginning of the season, there were a number of things that were not clearly established. Like, hey, this guy is the mayor, this is his wife. Their boy can see aliens. I mean, some of this was established and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But then how they relate to the rest of the town was kind of left out. There were a couple of things later in the season that it's like, okay, Harry had a kid. Where did they leave off on that?
Yeah.
Oh, the kid's back. What's going on with this? And it just felt like in a couple of places, they just skip over some stuff. And I'm like, no. I need to understand. How did they get from where they just were to where they are now?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, boom, it's done, okay, everything's fine or something.
Yeah.
That was a particular problem in the season finale, where at one point I'm like, okay, we're having the aftermath conversation, and I didn't think we were totally done with the action.
Yeah, I would fully agree with that.
So I feel there were a lot of aspects that were disconnected. They've got a lot of threads going on, and when they pull in a few characters from past seasons, they did it in a way like, we're just supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, this series is written for binging.
Yes.
And not on a season-by-season basis.
Well, and yet, as much as I agree with that, I feel like the writers have forgotten things from, for instance, season 1. I mean, we get to the final episode, and the mayor and his wife are trying to keep secret from their son that they now acknowledge aliens exist, whereas season 1, the kid goes into therapy because he wants to put up wanted signs for have you seen this alien?
Yeah, there were aspects of that were a little annoying. I also felt some of it is they lost track of stuff from previous seasons. There were a few things where we spend, I mean, half the time it feels like we see the mayor and his wife, it's in their bedroom because they're getting abducted at night, that kind of a thing. And at one point I'm like, wait a sec, didn't they used to sleep on the other side of the bed?
They did. They switched sides of the bed partway through the season. And looking at from my perspective, it was very much the wife is on, as we're looking at, the left side of the screen when we are focusing on the wife and we want the husband in the background. And partway through the season, we decide we want to focus on the husband in bed, so we move him to the other side.
I took it as, and that's from kind of looking from the doorway into the room, The wife had to get moved to the further away side, because since she's now worried she's getting abducted, because she's starting to believe maybe aliens do exist, so she literally handcuffs herself to the bed frame.
Yeah.
But if it was on the other side, that would have been too obvious when the husband walks into the room or something.
I guess.
The whole thing was far-fetched.
Yeah.
And there are enough times where things happened because the story couldn't progress otherwise. Not that it felt natural, or that's what the characters would have done, or... Because, like, having invited Harry, the town doctor, with them as they go on a family vacation...
Invited is a very loose term.
Accepted that he invited himself along is the more accurate thing.
There you go.
But then when they need a doctor later, it's like, let's call this other person.
Yeah. Now, and I totally agree with you, but we should mention that they have each tried to get Harry to remove the mole, effectively, that they want removed, and he wouldn't.
No, actually, only the mayor did. The wife, I guess...
They both got hypnosis instead of what they wanted.
But ever since the wife found out, and because of the hypnosis, now remembers having the baby that they lost because it was stolen by the aliens and such, she no longer has contact with Harry throughout the season.
Yeah.
Episode or two after that, but you know what I mean.
But that goes back to my... Those two are pretty much in isolation. I mean, the mayor has a few scenes with the sheriff and the deputy.
They could have filmed... And maybe they did this because of scheduling issues. Most of the cast at either the beginning or end of the season, the mayor, his wife, and stuff at the other side of the season, with a little bit in between where we've got Harry's kid splitting into parts and impersonating half the town and whatnot. The scene in the UFO where Kate and
Darcy
are going around.
And then the Yellowstone vacation.
And the couple of scenes in the sheriff's office with the mayor.
Yeah.
I mean, so...
And then Kate with the sheriff's deputy.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of me wonders, because this would have been something that filmed right after the writer's strike, wouldn't it? What if the actors who play the mayor and the mayor's wife are Canadian and could come back to film before everyone else?
That could be.
And filmed a bunch of their stuff before everyone else arrived.
And it's funny because I think some viewers would not pick up on the fact that there's a very divorced aspect of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And during the pandemic, that sort of segmenting of the cast was very intentional by a lot of production companies. So I don't know what motivated it, but it felt a little weird in places.
To me, it felt weird because there were so many times when it felt like they should be involving someone else, and they weren't.
Well, and add to the fact that Max's friend, who is the voice of reason as Max becomes the alien hunter or whatever, alien tracker, she's there in the first episode and the last one or two or something, but there's a big chunk in the middle, she's just gone.
Yeah.
And they address, oh, she's going away for a bit, gifted school, whatever, whatever. But again, it made me wonder, is this a scheduling issue?
Yeah.
And...
Well, and a lot of shows did get hit with scheduling conflicts because of the dual strike.
Well, everything got backed up. There were a lot of people that needed to be in two places at once and can't, and therefore, So I get that. And if it was just that was odd and they had to work around it, that'd be fine. But I felt like the writing was subpar this season.
Mm-hmm.
Where, again, certain things just kind of happen. They jump over certain things. They don't reestablish characters. They don't reestablish the scene.
Well, the other thing for me was there was a lot of we're going to hit you over the head with it this season. You, Harry had to fall in love. Harry had to discover love. Harry had to experience heartbreak so that when the mayor's wife comes to him and he hypnotizes her.
Yep. So he could relate to her and actually let her remember.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like, as of the end of the season, is there any member of the cast of characters we deal with that doesn't believe and know for a fact that there are aliens?
Jay. She's only recurring, but Jay.
Jay and the sheriff's new girlfriend.
Yes.
But that's it.
Technically, the sheriff's deputy hasn't seen it for herself. I mean, she thinks she saw UFOs as a kid, so she's a believer.
She's a believer, and she ends having seen the former alien tracker, now RoboCop.
Yeah.
Which is played by Terry O'Quinn, who does a great job with
it. Yeah, he does.
So I put her in the, if she didn't know, she should by the start of the next season.
Yeah.
Should they get one.
Yeah.
So I also felt the whole bit with the alien tracker was a little over the top. The person that gets pulled in to kind of get him outfitted with the suit and the tech to kind of reanimate his brain dead body and such. He was from first season, and they just kind of pull him back in, and it's like, don't even give us a what's his name again.
Yeah, and as I recall, they tried to kill him off.
He does mention that.
Yeah.
And then just goes and works for them.
Yeah.
Again, I don't feel some of this has the character motivation thought out.
Yeah.
And there are a few times where Linda Hamilton's character kind of spins on a dime as to she wants to kill him, they let him live, this is okay, you know.
I want one of those magic clickers. I'm totally on board with her. Once you find out, though I don't think she fully found out the clicker was magic, but once you realize the clicker is magic, I want one.
Well, the clicker does the portals that the Greys have.
But it's not just that. You press the button, and the portal takes you where you want to go.
Well, it's like the Star Trek communicators in Discovery for transporting.
Yes.
You don't have to set the destination. It just knows.
And this one knows not only place, but time.
We were told it could go to other timelines and such. We haven't actually seen it. Well, we know portals can do time traveling.
Yeah.
From last season. Presumably the Greys could do that. Again, a lot of this is left unsaid.
Well, but Harry flat out says in his little rant that it's the portal that took him back in time to become Goliath.
Well, again, we saw that last season.
Yeah.
It was a portal. I don't know for certain, I don't remember, if it was one of the Greys' portal.
But in his rant, he's saying it is this portal that takes you to the ship, okay, that takes you back in time to become Goliath. It's all just caught up in the rant.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I don't remember that
yeah,
part.
Yeah, I got from the rant.
Okay.
Which goes back to the, it's one magic button, you don't have to set anything, it just takes you where you want to go, when you want to go.
But if they've got that portal technology, and clearly they do, I'm a little unclear why they're levitating people up to the spaceship when they abduct them.
Because you can reach out and levitate them, but with the portal, they have to walk through it.
Or you could have opened a portal and tractor beamed them through the portal, but...
Well, and the other thing is, did we actually see them levitate, like, through the ceiling, through the roof, etc.?
Not through the roof and stuff, but we saw the mayor levitated above the house.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was trying to remember.
So, either he went intangible to go through the roof, or he was portaled around the roof, but then is still outside versus into the ship. This is the sort of thing where it's like, wouldn't it be cool if versus let's give some rational thought to this.
Yeah.
And I don't need all of this to make perfect sense or anything, but when the storytelling has some holes in it,
mm-hmm,
and I felt like the major one at the end where how are they going to get out of the alien base to, oh, we're fine, skipped over a bunch of stuff. So when we get the reveal of, oh, here's the twist for next season, I'm like, well, you didn't really play fair.
No. And it was pretty close to the twist I was expecting.
Oh, yeah. The minute of, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was kind of telegraphed, I think, early on, because it's the only reason that made the opening scene of the last episode make sense.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of aspects of, they have this thing that they think would be cool. Not sure I'm always on board with it being cool in terms of my mileage is varied. What do we need to do to almost justify that thing they think would be cool?
I'm trying to figure out if one character knew the twist was coming, and that's why he didn't accept a ride. There's nothing for me on Earth.
I took that, well, given he thinks they're going to blow the thing up, that didn't make any sense. But I took that as, that's our out for the plot twist.
See, I wondered if it was that, but I can't remember if he can see aliens or not.
His father could. I don't remember if he can or not. Doesn't need to, though, because when he sees somebody else, he'll recognize them.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's our literal escape hatch.
Yes.
I just feel like they like ending on a little bit of a big reveal, a little bit of a tease of, oh, everything will be different next season. And ultimately, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all going to get back to patience. They're all going to have the same sort of slice of life sort of adventures as they're trying to save humanity. And I don't think that's necessarily a horrible thing, but it doesn't make for a great show sometimes.
They tried to give us a growth arc for Darcy this season.
Yeah.
Which, to some degree, I think they did.
Well, I think we got arcs for most of the characters. The mayor and his wife come to realize they have been abducted, they have lost a kid, all that kind of stuff. They tried to mature Darcy. They tried to give a romance arc for the sheriff. They tried to give the deputy a get-taken-seriously arc and a validation, really a validation arc in general, being taken seriously and aliens being proven to be real to her circle.
Mm-hmm.
Puts her in a better position. Asta's arc was really the relationship with Jay.
Yeah.
And how that goes. And Harry's arc was really becoming a better parent and learning compassion. And he's almost the ultimate and reluctant hero at times. And I use the term hero very loosely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're trying to grow the characters and whatnot, and you kind of have to. But I think they're so hell-bent on the goofy, wacky alienness of it that it at times gets in the way. And I'm sure some people are thinking, oh, but that's the point of the show. And sure, it is, but it's not a point of the property.
Mm.
And I say that having read 7 of the 8 or all but the latest of the Resident Alien miniseries that this is nominally based on. And to understand the difference, take this show, take the wacky, bad Mork from Mork and Mindy aspect out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Interject a Ray Walston, Uncle Martin alien into it.
Yeah.
And set the whole thing on the Hallmark Channel as a mystery movie.
Yeah.
Really, it's a sci-fi, not even a hard sci-fi, but it's a sci-fi window dressing around a typical mystery show in the comic. And none of these characters, other than Asta, really resemble their comic counterpart too much. Her dad, a bit, but there's, for me, such a cognitive dissonance between the comic book version of the property and the TV show version of the property. And both of them have similar failings in terms of gaps between seasons for the show, gaps between miniseries for the comics. I mean, I don't remember when the comic started, but I'm going to say it was at least 7-8 years ago, probably. So if you're doing a miniseries a year, there are 4 issues, 8 months off, thereabouts. It's hard to really keep the story momentum. Add to that now having a show that's trying to almost displace that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm out. And it's not, I mean, I enjoyed the comic, but it was getting to where I couldn't remember enough of the backstory to have the proper context for the current story, just like we had that problem this season of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the flaws are not inherent to the property, but it's interesting that the flaws followed from the comic to the show, sort of, or at least are in both, I should say. And the show has its moments, but there's an aspect where I'm watching it as much to see, can they land an ending? Can they pull it off?
Mm-hmm.
Versus, wow, this is great. Because I don't think, wow, this is great.
No.
If it was almost anybody other than Alan Tudyk in the lead, I think the character of Harry would be very off-putting.
Yes.
And it would have been, yep, we're done.
I like Enver as Joseph, the hybrid alien.
Yes, he's good.
I loved when he was trying to get information out of Asta.
Mm-hmm.
And she suddenly realized how clueless he was.
Yes, and she's doing the literally the Mork and Mindy routine on him.
Yes.
Of, he's from Ork, he reports to Orson, and, you know, how does Mindy fit in, all this, you know. He's pumping her for information, she goes to the sitcom she knows. And
it was beautiful.
I'm sure if they had to do a repeat of that, she would go with, like, Alf.
Yes.
And that probably would have been the better reference, given the age of the character.
I mean, Mork and Mindy is just classic.
It is, but it's also late 70s, early 80s. It's our generation.
But it was in reruns. Asta's
enough younger.
Wasn't Mork and Mindy in reruns forever?
I don't know. I still think Alf would have been a more contemporary reference given when Asta would have grown up.
Okay.
It would have been, again, if they'd gone for the My Favorite Martian reference, that would have been, you know, just as outdated 10, 15 years ago, what have you. So I don't object to them having done it. I thought that was funny. But there are aspects where sometimes the humor is just stupid humor.
Yes. And what I refer to as painful humor.
totally on the awkwardness aspect of it, but that's where Harry's girlfriend and the two of them kind of being on the same wavelength and then watching everybody else kind of react mm-hmm. to them, particularly Asta and Darcy. That actually played a little better than when it was just sometimes Harry doing it.
Yeah.
I'm curious if they're going to get another season. They left it at a point where they didn't complete a story.
Yeah.
They left a lot of things hanging. I just don't know that if it were my decision, well, I know if it were my decision, I would not have continued it.
And Sci-Fi agrees with you.
Yeah. I just don't know if anyone else is going to feel enough attachment to it to say, yeah, let's roll with it, you know, and mm-hmm. take it somewhere else. And I think that's a shame to everybody who's invested the time in the three seasons for them to have left it where they did, not only with a cliffhanger, but in my opinion, an unsatisfying final episode.
Well, and really, they set up the next season to be about how well do you really know people?
Yeah, the how well do you know somebody definitely is going to be a major part of at least the first episode of another season, should they get one.
I think really it's a theme for the whole season, because you've really got that within the mayor's family with the baby.
They could backpedal on that, because we saw Darcy knock on the door with the baby, but that could go six ways to Sunday.
I think almost any way you take it, though, we now have the... We assume it's a fully human baby. Is it or is it not?
Yeah, one path is it's just a baby, it doesn't show any overt signs of alienness, and they're adjusting to life as that. The second is that's happening, but they're assuming it's a fully alien baby, or it's been tampered with, or whatever, so they get it tested out the wazoo. Another path is it has been tampered with, it's very obvious, and they've got to deal with that. But that's another thing where they can compartmentalize the mayor's family. And then you've also got the aspect of Max feeling put out of, my parents came home and suddenly they have a X-month-old baby.
Yes.
How dumb do they think I am? They're replacing me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but you've also got the sheriff with the girlfriend who cracked the joke about DNA splicing.
Yeah. Well, the twist they could do with the girlfriend is she's not exactly what she appears to be either.
Yeah.
Maybe she's one of the hybrid grays, and they're just trying to figure out what's going on. So, I'd have to go back to when she was introduced to see if there's anything that really kind of set that up or not.
She was introduced, I want to say, last season, and I thought she had a similar background to the sheriff, of she'd come from a big city and had the three-layer agency connections.
I'm just trying to remember, where was Joseph at during all of that, and if there were any parallels to his backstory and whatnot.
Interesting, yeah.
But, again, they do such a horrible job of jogging the memory, of setting things back up.
Well, there was one episode where the previously on really should have given us what we needed to know going in, and it was 3 or 4 minutes after a scene where I'm like, oh, that's why!
Yep.
And I comment to you, and you're like, yeah, and the previously on really did show us something that implied that's why, but the problem was they didn't tell us, they implied.
Well, we saw something happen in a previous episode. We were reminded that it happened, but we hadn't seen that character after that happened. So when we see that character now, there's an aspect that, well, sure, it makes sense that
these are the consequences.
These are the consequences. If you stop and think about it, but in the watching of the show, I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
But given they've got enough time where they just kind of skip over some stuff, it's easy to assume they didn't show me what I needed to see.
Yeah.
Which I would argue was the case here.
Well, and the character he was talking to didn't even ask about it and wasn't involved in what caused it.
Yeah. There was no how did this come to be aspect when there should have been. But some people are a little too wrapped up in their own story to follow some other character in the shows.
That's true.
I think my biggest disappointment with the show is not just that I'm not really loving it, or even that it's kind of tainted the comic book version of it for me. But I do think the comic book would have made for a really fun show if they'd done a faithful adaptation. But I think because of this show, we're at least probably 10 years before somebody would actually go back to the well and try it again.
Mm-hmm.
And probably get lambasted for it's not like the original TV show.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening. Because for the most part, when a comic property gets picked up for TV show or movie or whatever, unless it's a major Marvel DC character, and those are, you know, their own little kind of special case or whatever, it gets what it gets, and that's the take.
Yeah.
I mean, Men in Black is an example of that, and they did fine with that, so there's no reason to monkey with it. I would say the one that is a little bit of an exception, sort of, but not quite, would be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and that's a comic property that dates back to the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
It became the cartoon that took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
And while there have been different incarnations of the cartoon, the live-action movies, the live-action TV show and stuff, and they've retooled, done little things differently, they're not radically different takes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, geez, I can't understand this because I grew up on this other one or something. It's not like with the X-Men, where if you were to ask somebody who was the original X-Men, the answer may be based on where did they get introduced to the X-Men. Was it the movies in the 2000s? Was it the 97 cartoon?
Yeah.
Was it X-Men Evolution cartoon? Was it First Class, the movie? Was it, you know, maybe, I don't know, the comics?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think three seasons in terms of number of episodes and stuff, not a bad run for comic-based property. I just, given the property, don't think these were the right three seasons for the property. So I am not surprised it isn't getting picked up with what's, you know, Sci-Fi that's been airing it. I think it's a little bit of an uphill battle to see if somebody else picks it up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And it'll be interesting to see if they make changes as part of picking it up.
It'll also be interesting to see if Dark Horse, if it doesn't get picked up, does something to kind of tie off the loose ends of the show.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.